Butterfly, one of Grieg's lyric pieces, played by our soloist Alice Sarart. I'm delighted to say that she joins me now. So, welcome. What was it about Grieg's music that so attracted you?
So, Grieg has actually written two or three works that made him become very famous. That's the Peer Gynt Suite, that's the Piano Concerto, and also the Violin Sonata is very known. But apart from those works, people hardly play his music. And when I decided to actually dedicate an entire album to his music, I started doing some research on his music. And of course, there's this very big cycle, the lyric pieces he has been composing throughout his entire life. And I fell in love with that special musical world, because we live in a time in the 21st century, and in a time where materialism, money, and time is dominating our everyday life. And sometimes I get very much frightened by that. And when I started discovering his music, it just made me forget the speed of the everyday life. And it gave me the opportunity to enter a magical world, because in his music, everything is possible. All the childhood dreams and fantasies, which I basically lost on my path from childhood to adulthood, became alive again. And for me, it was like going on a journey through a musical wonderland. And that's why I called the album Wonderland as well. And so dealing with his music was very essential to me, because it really made me, it gave me a time to forget reality in the 21st century.
Let's talk a bit about you and your background, because your father is German, your mother Japanese. You were born in Munich. What was it like growing up?
I think I had a wonderful childhood. I'm very, very grateful to my parents. My parents have never, they didn't push me into this, and my mother was actually against it, and she's a professional musician. And this is a profession where you don't first finish school and then study and then start working as a professional. But it starts at a very early stage. And I think being a parent to a young musician is a very big challenge, because for my parents, it was always important that I also have a sister. She's 3 years younger, and she does exactly the same. And for them, it was always the most important thing that we would also develop some social skills and not only be crazy, like be focused on just on the music. And so I'm very, very grateful to my parents, actually. And I had a wonderful childhood in Munich. I mean, of course, we started traveling a lot, because when we entered, when we met our teacher, and I met him when I was 12, he was giving master classes all over the world, and so we got to see the world, which was of course wonderful, and so I didn't spend that much time in Munich.
Let's go back to some music now, because I want to us to hear something from your 2015 album, The Chopin Project. And he's another composer very close to your heart, I know. But we can say this isn't perhaps as we might expect to be hearing Chopin. Can we just have a little bit of background? Because you were playing Chopin on a very particular instrument.
Yeah, so this is a collaboration with a very dear friend of mine, Ólafur Arnaldsson, and he's an Icelandic musician and composer. And he had this idea to reinterpret Chopin's music. And at the beginning, I was very, very careful, and because like Chopin is one of the composers that has been recorded the most. And especially if you do collaborations with musicians from other music genres, the danger that it turns out very cheesy is very big. So I was very careful, but then we immediately connected. We both share a passion for whiskey and then also for Chopin's music, of course. And I, after talking to him, I just felt that it was the right thing to do this. So one day, for example, we had the idea to go bar hopping, and we decided we wanted to find some old bar, dusty bar pianos. And so we went from bar to bar, and eventually we found a couple of pianos. And of course, they were out of tune, and nobody had really played on them. But it was wonderful because he had this analog recording instrument. And so I was just playing a few Chopin pieces on those old, dusty, out of tune pianos. And people were sitting around us and chatting, and he recorded all this. And that was something very, very nice, actually. Then a telephone started ringing because that brought us back to the 21st century. That was not what we were looking for.
Thank you.
Raindrop, Chopin's Prelude in D-flat major, as realised by my guest Alice Sarard on her album, The Chopin Project. Well, Alice, let's be perfectly honest now. You must be a marketing manager's dream because you're young, you're glamorous, and you don't mind doing photo shoots and actually wearing good fashionable clothes. I mean, do you feel that you're under pressure to do that, or is it what you enjoy anyway?
No, this is, of course, something I enjoy doing. I have had lots of arguments with colleagues of mine and friends that, because there are many, many would say that only the music counts. But I disagree, because I think from the moment where you step on stage, that's where the audience gets the first impression. And the first impression you never be able to erase. And that's the strongest impression, too. And yes, of course, the music is the most important thing. And that's, I think, your skills and your musical personality decides in the end if people want to come to your concerts in 20 or 30 years. But also the visual aspect, I think, is important. And even those people who don't care about how they look, that's an image as well. So, but I'm very much interested in fashion, and I like interior design furniture. So, I mean, that's something I very much enjoy. So I like to combine this. And also, like recently when I tour the Wonderland program, and I started also playing with the light, and I was thinking about what dress actually fits to the music. People are paying money to not only listen but also to see. It's an entire show, I think.
And actually searching for those clothes that are appropriate for concerts. Do you go out with specific repertoire in mind sometimes?
Well, I mean, first of all, I hate going to shopping malls. I really don't go shopping. I do everything online, even my furniture, everything, even food I sometimes buy online because nowadays it is so convenient. And I'm quite a lazy person, so I buy all my dresses and clothes online. But yes, for example, when I was touring the Third Piano Concerto of Beethoven, I couldn't imagine going on stage with a golden or red dress. It just didn't fit to the music. And so I was looking for a black dress, and I never wore a black dress before, so I had to find a black dress, yes.
One thing you don't have to go shopping for concerts, I understand, is shoes, because everybody asks you this. You like to play barefoot. Why?
I'm against rules and dress codes in concert halls. I think that doesn't really help to bring the young generation into the concert halls. We cannot expect young people to come to our concerts if we dress like we come from the last century. And, of course, I mean, if you want to dress like that, I think it's wonderful, but people shouldn't be forced to wear certain clothes, because I think to be able to really enjoy music and to open up for music, you have to be relaxed. And everybody has a different style and posture for that. And I just feel very comfortable being barefoot, because I'm always barefoot at home, and so at one point I realized I want to feel home on stage.
Alice, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much. Let's finish with another track by Grieg. He's taking up much of your life at the moment. How's that tour going? Is that good?
So I finished the Asian part of the tour. Now I'm going back and I continue in Germany and Europe, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, goodness me. Well, let's listen now to the recording of you playing the wedding day at Trollhagen. Thank you. Alice Sarah Ott playing Wedding at Trollhaugen by Grieg. You're listening to Radio 3 in Concert with me, Nicola Haywood-Thomas. We're live at the Town Hall in Cheltenham, and in the second half of our programme, the BBC National Orchestra of Wales has just one work, Beethoven's outpouring of love for the natural world in his Sixth Symphony. Beethoven relished long walks in the countryside around Vienna and would spend his summers in nearby villages. He began thinking about a work that would celebrate rural sights and sounds in 1803 and jotted down the folk-like dance theme that we hear in the third movement. It was almost 5 years later, though, that he started in earnest to write the symphony. Beethoven's notes make it very clear that he wasn't aiming to paint a musical picture of country life, but to evoke feelings associated with it. He gave each movement a programmatic title, but said anyone who has even just an idea of country life can imagine what the author intends without many headings. Well, for tonight's conductor, Jean Merkel, Beethoven's pastoral symphony stands alone.
Beethoven had this inspiration of countryside, and he has this one famous moment where the birds and the cuckoo and the nightingale are making music, actually. And the second movement, the beginning, has this little small river, and you can hear these small waves, and so it's very beautiful. You have this great thunderstorm, and the lightning and the thunder and threatening. But in the end, and that was very important for Beethoven, it's not a description of actual things in the nature, even when he has this flute playing the nightingale. But it's more about his emotions, his feelings about nature and his gratitude that nature is so beautiful. The point is that the music speaks for itself.
Jean Merkel, and here he is now to conduct the BBC National Orchestra of Wales in Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony.